Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Terrific to have you with us. As we're just mentioning, Governor Gavin Newsom just signed within the hour legislation that would require all candidates for president in California's primaries to disclose their tax returns as a condition of appearing on the ballot. The governor wrote in his message that is one of the largest economies in the world and home to 1 in 9 Americans eligible to vote. California has a special responsibility to require this information of presidential and gubernatorial candidates. These are extraordinary times, and states have a legal and moral duty to do everything in their power to ensure leaders seeking the highest offices meet minimal standards and to restore public confidence. California is the first state in the country to pass such a requirement. It, of course, will be legally challenged, as parties have long held that they have the right to set their own rules for ballot qualifications independently of what a state chooses to do. Joining us to talk about the legal issues that are raised, as well as the history of this legislation, Sacramento Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times, John Myers. John, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry.
Governor Brown vetoed this when this bill was previously passed. Do you recall what the governor said is the reason why he didn't support it then?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, he raised the same legal concerns that people have all along, that it could be unconstitutional, which you've referenced some there at the top, and we can talk about again in a moment. And the other point that Jerry Brown made is said, what happens next? Are we going to ask for high school records or health records of candidates? Like, where is the line end of demands to get on the ballot? Newsom has taken a different approach, obviously, on this. And I think it's really important to point out here also, Larry, Jerry Brown did not release his tax returns in the 2010 and 2014 campaigns for governor. Gavin Newsom released details of 5 years of tax returns in the 2018 campaign, and that's exactly what the law he signed today would do as well. So the two men had different opinions on what they ran their own campaigns on, and I guess are taking different looks at least what they think the law will withstand when it gets to the courts.
If President Trump continued to not want to release his tax return, there wouldn't be any harm, it would seem, in him just staying off the California ballot. He's obviously not going to win the state, but I would think the Republican Party could make the challenge that this would have a depressing effect on Republican turnout for other races, that this would overall harm the party would be the argument there, independent of the presidency, if people couldn't vote for Donald Trump.
I think that's possible. I mean, I think, you know, I can tell you that, you know, talking to people in Sacramento over the last several weeks as we waited for this bill to get to Newsom's desk, there are a lot of different kind of parlor game scenarios here, right, about what could happen if, in fact, the law is upheld and if Trump won't be on the ballot because he won't give his tax returns over. Certainly, first of all, and we should really make clear to people who are listening to this, this is about the primary, the March primary. The law does not apply to the November general election ballot. So if Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, he would be on the November ballot no matter what. But, right, that could change turnout in the March primary. You know, some have suggested to me, well, could he run a write-in campaign and he'd get his name on there? Yes, but that's a little bit hard. You know, there are a lot of scenarios that could play out here. But the most interesting part of this to me also, which, of course, isn't the headline right now. Donald Trump is the headline because he's been reluctant, refused, I think is better to say, that he hasn't released his tax returns all these years, is what about the Democratic presidential candidates? I mean, some of them have released their tax returns, not all of them. They'd be held to the exact same standard. And not that it's a headline either, Larry, the law also applies to candidates for governor of California. So no longer could a Jerry Brown or someone else refuse to release their tax returns. They would be held to the same standard under this law that the governor signed today.
Well, and you could have in California's primary, you could have, you know, a Green Party candidate candidate or Libertarian Party candidate who's in the cannabis business doesn't want to release their tax returns because of potential legal exposure at the federal level in doing so. So, you know, those parties would potentially, you know, want to take this up legally as well for concerns about what it could do, the vulnerability of their candidates. I look forward to hearing your thoughts as an AirTalk listener. The legislation just signed by Governor Gavin Newsom requiring all candidates in the presidential primary for next spring disclose their tax returns for the past 5 years. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with me from UC Irvine, Professor of Law and Political Science and noted election law specialist, Rick Hassan. Professor, good to have you with us again. Where would you anticipate the legal challenges coming beyond the Republican Party?
Well, I think that both a presidential candidate and someone who wants to vote for a presidential candidate would likely have standing to be able to challenge this law. And I expect that we'll see a lawsuit filed at least on the presidential side, if not on the gubernatorial side, in pretty short order. It'll probably be filed in federal court somewhere in California, and then we'll see where things go.
Well, and what about the argument that this could potentially depress overall turnout for the Republican Party if President Trump isn't on the primary ballot? I mean, similarly to the census, the argument that asking about citizenship depresses the overall count of the census, even though it might be helpful to have that information about citizenship. Could you make the argument similarly that this would have a depressive effect on turnout, even if it'd be beneficial to have tax returns?
Well, I think that it is potentially relevant to the question of whether a political party would have standing to be able to bring the lawsuit, whether they actually have a grievance. But I don't think that's the main constitutional concern. The main constitutional concern is that the United States Constitution prescribes the requirements, the qualifications to be president. You have to be a natural-born citizen, 35 years or older. And if this is looked at not as a ballot access qualification, ballot access rule, but as a qualification to running for office, then it's possible that it's unconstitutional. We had a very similar situation occur about 20 years ago involving trying to keep people who would not support term limits, tried to keep them off the ballot in congressional races. And the Supreme Court said, you can't do that. That's equivalent to adding additional qualifications. And you can't even have a notation on the ballot that says this person refused to sign a pledge to support term limits. That, too, was found to be unconstitutional. So under that line of cases about qualifications, it's not clear to me at all that this law is constitutional as to presidential candidates.
Rick, thank you for joining us as always. I appreciate we got you like 2 minutes before airtime and appreciate it very much. Thank you. Thanks. Chancellor's Professor of Law and Political Science, UC Irvine, Rick Hassan, one of the nation's foremost election law specialists. Also with us, legal scholar from Pepperdine University, Associate Professor of Law, Derek Muller. Professor, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what are your thoughts about what we're going to see in the coming, if not days, hours, lawsuits related to this?
Yeah, so I agree with Professor Hassan. I think it'll be in federal court. I think it'll be a challenge on the qualifications, saying you can't add qualifications to presidential candidates. But I also think that there's a good claim to be made that this does burden the right of the political parties to choose their own nominee. None of the parties, Republicans, Democrats, you know, they require you to be a member of the party, but none of them say you also have to disclose your tax returns in order to win our nomination. So I think that that's a challenge, but the Supreme Court has also regularly said that presidential or political parties are free to ignore what happens in presidential primaries. So the Republican Party, Green Party, they can move to a caucus and stop holding primaries in the state. They can choose to ignore the results. They can sort of do whatever they want if this law is ultimately upheld. And I think that's, you know, to the diminishment of California's voters. You know, California's voters, I think, want to have as many options as possible on the ballot. They, you know, millions of them voted for Donald Trump in the last presidential election and in the presidential primary. So it's a pretty significant decision from the legislature to exclude a class of candidates from the ballot.
Well, and one of the arguments I recall that legislators who supported it made is that it's essential to the public interest for voters to have the financial information about all the candidates, that releasing tax returns is vital to knowing any potential conflicts of interest that would be there in a candidate. But at the same time, of course, and you just mentioned this, significant numbers of Americans, despite President Trump not releasing his tax returns, voted for him. So how strong is that sort of vital interest argument when such a significant number of Americans didn't think it was excluding to not have Trump's tax returns?
Yeah, this is always a challenge when you're taking what has long been deemed a political judgment and moved into the legal realm, right? For a long time, people have debated about how many years tax returns did you release. Mitt Romney released 2 years of presidential tax returns, not 5 years. Hillary Clinton has released dozens of years of tax returns. It's gone up and down. There were controversies about whether or not John McCain's wife or John Kerry's wife had disclosed enough tax returns. There are questions about whether you just disclose some of them or all of them, and how early do you do it in the primary, do it in the general. I mean, these are all things that the political process had largely debated, and it was kind of left to the voters, the media, sort of other candidates, pressuring each other in the debates about what was appropriate. And here what we've done is essentially set a one-size-fits-all rule. And in the judgment of California's legislatures, you have to comply with this particular provision, essentially giving over all of your tax returns from the last 5 years. And this is going to apply to 20-some Democratic candidates, a handful of Green Party and Libertarian candidates, and so on. So I think it's a pretty significant shift of this discussion that I think was still in the public domain of political debate into sort of a one-size-fits-all legal rule.
Professor Mueller, thanks so much. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Associate Professor of Law, Pepperdine University. All three of our guests coming on very quickly because we just before the end of last hour got the news. Governor Newsom signing the bill that requires all presidential candidates in next March's California primary to disclose the past 5 years of their federal income tax returns. Let me go back to John Myers, L.A. Times, Sacramento Bureau Chief. John, have there been any response so far from Republicans in the legislature as rare as they are?
Not the legislature. We've seen a statement from the chairwoman of the California Republican Party, again, agreeing that it's unconstitutional and that Democrats in Sacramento should be focusing on the problems of California and not on their hatred of Donald Trump. We've asked for a statement from the Trump campaign, who told us earlier for the story we've already filed that's online. The similar kind of thing that they believe it's unconstitutional will be challenged. The really interesting part to this, Larry, is this relationship between Gavin Newsom and Donald Trump and what it is. It's an up and down relationship. They have worked together when there have been disasters in California, and the Trump administration has come through on disaster aid, wildfires, and certainly after the earthquake. But at the same time, they sparred with each other regularly on social media. And Governor Newsom has been pretty clear through the years that he thought the president should have released his tax returns. We didn't know whether that would translate into the law, but certainly it has. And, you know, the other part I would emphasize to people really quickly is that this was signed with an urgency stat provision, which means it takes effect immediately, which I think not only accelerates these legal challenges, but also puts everybody on notice that it would apply to the March presidential primary, and everyone has to make a decision soon.
And I'm curious if other states are going to follow suit where you've got Democratic majorities in their legislatures seeing what California's done. They might think, yeah, this is good for us, too. We're going to pass a similar bill.
We've counted up, the National Conference of State Legislatures has counted up at least 18 states have considered the idea. There are a couple of bills pending in the Washington state legislature to the north of us. New Jersey has talked about it. Chris Christie vetoed a plan when he was governor, the current governor of New Jersey. Maybe he said he would take a look at it. So there are other states, but California in the front here, and actually California and New York, right? New York, with the effort to get the president's state tax returns in front of Congress, both pushing on the president. And I think two things. What will the president say or tweet today? And what do the Democratic presidential candidates say in their debate tonight, if anything, about this issue of their tax returns and the California ballot?
Yeah, good points, John. As always, thank you so much. Great to have you with us. We'll let you get back to writing about this breaking news. Thank you. John Myers, LA Times, Sacramento Bureau Chief. James in Pasadena says it's irrelevant to release tax returns. This should remain private for those who want to. Donations are included. I'm not even pro-Trump, James says, but I feel strongly this is the wrong thing to do. You can share your comments on the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Coming up, we'll talk about a first-of-its-kind lawsuit in Alabama, where the father of an aborted embryo is suing the clinic that provided the abortion drug to his then-girlfriend. We'll talk about the Alabama law that the father is trying to leverage in this suit. You're listening to Air Talk on KPCC. Back in 1 minute.